Well, hello again, and so glad that you've joined us, and it's Labor Day weekend, so we're going to be talking about work, our work, and how that integrates with our Christian faith. And to join me, I've invited four other people from our congregation to enter into a discussion about work and share some of our experiences and perspectives on work. And so hopefully this is a helpful discussion that we can have about work and can inspire you as we look ahead to a fall season, as we enter into regular routines and work habits that we are all engaged in. So today I've invited to be with us Eric Van Egmond and Pete Bransma and Megan Aperlew, as well as Diane Campman. And the four of them have been gracious enough to accept the invitation and to enter into this discussion, and I'm really glad to have them. So to each of you, welcome. So glad to have you. So before we begin the discussion, though, I wanted to make a couple of observations based on a passage in Genesis 2 that will sort of lay the foundation for our perspectives and discussions on work. Genesis 2 begins this way. It's obviously comes right after chapter 1, in which we have the 6 days of creation that God creates the universe. And then at the beginning of chapter 2, it says, "Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array, and by the seventh day God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done." And then moves into a second account of creation, in which God places Adam and Eve in the garden. And then at verse 15 of chapter 2, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it." So a couple of observations. The first being that the whole story of God, the very message of all of Scripture, begins with God at work, which perhaps doesn't seem so surprising. We just figure, well, God's got to be doing something. Why doesn't he work? But compared to other ancient stories of the beginning of time and the beginning of the universe, most of those stories involved the gods in ancient times who were in conflict and thus produced creation. And so the biblical story of creation stands out because it simply begins with God creating all that there is by his own hand. So in a sense, instead of conflict, it begins with God at work. In ancient times, work was considered something that you would prefer to get out of. And so people who were of the upper echelons of society were those people who didn't have to work, and that was considered a good thing. And so, in contrast, the Bible communicates that not only is work a part of human nature, but it's a good part of it, and because God participates in work. So that's the first important observation, I think, that we need to make about work, that God works. And in that sense, when he rested and made it holy, he also made not only rest holy, but he made work holy. So the second thing is that not only does God work, and therefore all work is good, but God delights in work. And he delights in creating. And so we have a couple of indications of that. Every time in chapter 1, when God created, at the end of each day, he looked at what he had made and he said, "It is good." He delights. It's like an artist who stands back and goes, "Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. That's good." But he also delights in his creation by resting. And now, it's not a matter of God resting because he was so exhausted that he needed to lay down. But it was rest in the sense that, again, with respect to an artist, it was as if God stood back and said, "Yeah, that is just awesome. I love doing that kind of work." And so he took delight in it. Tim Keller, in his book, Every Good Endeavor, says, God made the world not as a warrior who digs a trench, but as an artist who makes a masterpiece. I think that's a good image of how God delights in work. But God delights also not only in creating or in, from our perspective, in making things or accomplishing achievements and so on, but he also delights in his work in the sense of taking care of that which he has made. And we have a couple of indications of that as well. So when God creates human beings, he places them in the garden, a garden in by which he can provide and take care of human beings. And then when we get the story of human beings, God, Adam and Eve, then God commissions them to tend the garden and to take care of it and to name animals. And so there's that sense of God working to take care of things that is very important to him. In addition to that, when God observes Adam in the garden all alone, he says it's not good for man to be alone. And so he creates a helper for Adam, not just because Adam couldn't handle it all, but because for the sake of taking care of each other. And so in that sense, work is important and a delight for God. So that's the second point. The third point is that God commissions us to work. God works himself, and so therefore work is good. God delights in work, in the work of creating, and in the work of taking care of things, and so we can delight in that same kind of work. But also God commissions us to work, presumably to carry on the work that he has already begun. And so in that sense, work is an extension of what God is already doing in creation, in our world. And that's helpful, a helpful perspective for us, and perhaps we'll talk about that in a moment, especially when we are in situations where the work is very difficult or very boring, and perhaps this can help us to change our perspective on that kind of work, when we realize that God commissions us to work, and that our work, our activity in this world is an extension of what God is already busy with in this world as well. So let's begin the discussion with just sharing some of our experiences of how we learned to work and what were some of those influences that shaped our work habits. Anybody?
Yeah, I can start. Yeah. When I was a boy, a lot of my friends were dairy farmers, and I loved visiting their places. And some of them, one in particular, I would go to their place after church on Sunday morning, and end up sleeping there for a whole week. And I don't know how my parents ever allowed that to happen, but I spent weeks and weeks and weeks there, sometimes the whole summer. And I really enjoyed watching the work by the whole family. Everybody had chores, and it was about running this farm. And I just joined in on that, and I relished that. I loved that. And for me, it was just a real good experience of just learning to work as part of the family on a dairy farm, and having a role, and I loved it.
Cool.
That had a huge influence for me, just watching and learning how families work on the dairy farm.
Cool. Wow.
Well, for me, I lived on a dairy farm.
Yeah.
So there was nine of us children, and two girls, seven boys. So we always had a job. So from when you were little, you got this job and you got that job, and as you progressed, you learned from your siblings and you learned from your parents what was right and what was wrong. So I think in hindsight, they were working on my attitude toward work. And that's very, I discovered later, that's very, very important, right? What's your attitude to work? So honesty, integrity, and responsibility. When you go out, later on in your teen years, you went out and you milked for certain farmers. The farmer would go on holidays. Well, I have to take care of all his cows and milk them twice a day. So responsibility, and then accomplishment when all came, farmer came back, and you were blessed with the money, of course, right? Yeah. Which is a big benefit, which is kind of what you're doing it for at that time.
Yep.
So I learned from the parents and from my siblings that these things formulated and formed my attitude toward work, which took me through a lot of other jobs that I had later on in life.
I guess another farmer in here. So I grew up on a chicken farm, but I think that I learned to work throughout my whole life. Like growing up, we'd go to the barn with my parents to pick eggs. But I remember I was so excited when I was able to get my first job like outside of the farm. That was really exciting. And I was like, I'm going to do something new and it's going to be great and it's going to be so fun. And I went to my first shift at Tim Hortons and I watched 36 hours of Tim Hortons training videos. And so that was a bit of a reality hit, but it was cool to like learn like persistence through that and pushing through the start to be able to eventually work in the front with the customers. So, yeah.
And I think for me, it would probably be my parents. And I grew up with three sisters. So we were all given jobs from very early on. And a lot of them were like, you're doing this for a year. This is going to be your job. And then you go to the next job. And it had to be done right. Like there was a responsibility there. I learned to never say, I'm bored. There's nothing to do. Because there would be something to do. And I think I kind of learned that we were all part of a group, part of a home, and each person's job was done as part of a group. And then you learn that you're not doing this on your own. You're doing this for the benefit of the household.
Oh, really cool.
And then, yeah, I think that's the beginning of it. And then each job in sequence kind of taught me a little bit along the way as well. As, you know, whether it's like just persevere, stick it out, it's dirty and long, but it, you know, each one kind of progressively did teach me things as we went along.
So, well, let's move on to think about what motivates us to work. So I'm just wondering, what are some of those incentives that you carry with you to say, oh, yeah, I'm going to do this? What do you think?
I can start. For me, it's like having a greater purpose to my job. So even if it's just like mundane, one thing at a time, like being able to know that I'm doing something more and greater for the world and for the glory of God and all of that. So I've had a bunch of crazy jobs, but when I'm able to go to work and be able to see how that's impacting even like one person's life or one person's day, like putting a smile on their face and they're able to have a happier day because I was happy even if maybe I wasn't. So yeah, just like greater purpose is my motivation.
Cool. Yeah.
I think for me, it was probably feedback. A lot of my jobs were working with children, quite small daycare and teacher's aide. And I think the feedback is just that the knowledge that they're coming to me with the important questions that they want to ask, the smiles, the hugs, the feedback from them is what kind of spurred me on that I'm making a difference in their lives.
Right.
So I think that was probably one of the biggest incentives in that job.
Cool. Wow.
I suppose for me, in my teaching and counseling and coaching career, it was getting up and knowing that there are students that I'm going to be facing again today. And today I have to give them or present a Bible lesson or a Bible class, or I'm going to be coaching after school, or even to really know that there's a couple of students who are going to need my help in counseling,
yeah,
just to help them through a rough spot in life. And then to sit and ask them if I wanted to pray with them, and they always say yes. And we could pray together, and they'd thank me, and they'd leave, and they'd say, can I come again? Well, of course you can come again. So there's a motivation to, because you're helping all these other kids, and now as I'm retired, we kind of make it a point to meet some older people like I am and Alice, and we meet with them or you know, phone them or have them for coffee or something like that. Yeah.
But it's the same kind of motivation.
It's the same motivation, again, that, yes, we can get up and, oh, today we can do this. Yeah.
Wow.
And for me, I just get a lot of joy from being active and from working, whether it's at the office or it's at home doing some of those tasks. I enjoy it, and I feel good when the task and the jobs are done and you can see what you've accomplished. I have a great sense of satisfaction from that. And at the office, I also have a great sense of satisfaction knowing and witnessing and seeing how we have helped a family or protected a child or supported a family through a really tough time. So that is also very rewarding. So both the joy of work and the rewards of like Megan said, a greater purpose of helping members of society.
Let's change gears more to the shadow side of work or the darker side of work. What's been your experience and how did you handle times when you did work that was you judged it to be absolutely useless or it was terribly boring or really frustrating or just way too hard and that kind of thing? How did you handle that and what was that like?
Yeah, I can start on that okay. one. Again, when I was a boy, I think around 15, I worked for a bricklayer and his son, and they weren't particularly social people. I basically heard two words all day: brick, mud. That means they were calling me to deliver some bricks to them or some brick mortar, which they called mud. And so, I actually hated the job, but it was a summer job. And it was very mundane, and a typical day they would be building each a chimney on a house, so one in the front of the house and one in the back of the house. So as the day progressed, and as I heard the mud brick, I would have to deliver these starting up a ladder slowly, and by the end of the day, I'm climbing to the top of a ladder in the front of the house. And the top of the ladder to the back of the house. So my day got harder because I had to work faster.
Yeah.
And so I absolutely hated it. And I didn't like the environment. I didn't really like these people because they didn't show any interest in me. They basically said two words. So at the end of the day, I was dog tired, but I hated the job. But at the end of the day, I still... A little part of me took some pride in seeing these finished chimneys that I was a part of. So although I hated it, I still found one little bright spot in that mundane job. But worst job ever. Mud boy.
Okay. Oh, wow. Yeah, that doesn't sound fun at all. Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny because when you emailed me, I had just... got off the phone with my mom for 2 hours after work. And I was like, I hate my job. I don't know what I'm doing. Why am I doing this? This is so boring and not what I like to do at all. And so, yeah, I guess right now, I'm dealing with people and their insurance for their leased units. And so whenever you talk to anybody about insurance, they're pretty much not happy. So that's what I've been doing for pretty much the past 3 months. I was like, I just feel like this is not what I should be doing. But anyways, I had one moment where I was at work and it was 4:30 and I'm off at 4:30 and a tenant walked in and it was a tenant that I had been looking for their certificate of insurance for ever and they were not getting back to me. And I was like, okay, they're in at 4:30, but I'll stay for the extra 5 minutes and we'll just get it done. And she ended up staying for an hour and a half. even though the conversation, dealing with the insurance was super frustrating and so mundane, she ended up bursting into tears. And she was just like, I just needed somebody to talk to today. And so even if I have done the whole 3 months just to talk to her for the extra hour and a half after my shift, knowing that it was worth it for her to have that conversation, and I got the insurance, so that was another pro. But looking for the little things in the job that you're doing, even when it's not necessarily fun. Yeah.
And I think when you are using your gifts and your talents and doing your work, it grows your character. God grows you by having to push through and learn about, like I've learned that I'm basically a lazy person who needs to be very prompted to get to work.
Okay. Yep.
And so through that, through my jobs and experiences, I've said, okay, you really need to think about, plan out your day, you know, and get things done, because I know myself, I'll get around to it after coffee, and then I'll get around to it. So, yeah. And so some of the tough mundane jobs, like getting picked up at 7 a.m. to pick mushrooms in a dirty old house and stinky, you know, like, yeah, there is a 7 o'clock in the morning for a teenager, and it's like, yeah, you just push through, you do the job, and yeah, it teaches you things. And I think God grows you in all these experiences, and then you can then share those with others that you're working with. So.
And for me, the mundane thing was picking berries.
Yeah.
We picked berries. We got picked up in a pickup, in a box in the back of the pickup, and we sat in there on benches, and we got brought to the berry field. We picked berries the whole day in the heat, and at the end of the summer, we got paid, and that's where all of us learned to tithe. Our parents got 9/10 of our money, and we kept 1/10. But that was a mundane. But again, it's for the bigger good, bigger cause for the family. They had to pay tuition, Christian school tuition, pay to church, so and make a living.
Yeah.
So at the end, it's all good.
That's a good story to reflect that last point in terms of God commissions us to work. And so really all of our work, doesn't matter what we do and doesn't matter how mundane it is, it's an extension of what God is already doing in this world, right? And that I think that's a good picture of it, right? So, I mean, yeah.
We didn't realize that at the time, that God is doing this. God is using us.
You just think
us.
Your parents are taking your money.
Yeah.
One of the annoyances I have sometimes is when people say, well, you know, I had a marvelous career, and now it's time for me to do some kingdom work. And that seems such a shame, because all of our work we can recognize is in response to God's kingdom. So how have you experienced integrating your faith with your work? What's that been like? What are some of the challenges, perhaps? And what are some of the experiences that you go, wow, that was a great opportunity, I loved it? What do you think?
For me, working for the BC government is really challenging about faith.
Sure.
I really can't talk about faith. But I have on occasion talked about faith when somebody, a client, would ask me a direct question, are you a believer? And so a few times that has happened when I was working on the front lines, then was able to have great conversations with clients who were really struggling, and these folks were looking for strength and were asking questions. So was able to answer their questions and talk about my faith. Other than that, I try really hard to just conduct myself in such a way that hopefully people will say, there's something different about that guy, right? And that they see, and that's what I pray for too, that I pray that God's light can shine through me somehow, and especially in a dark world that I work in, with such significant struggles with families, that light somehow does shine through. It's not my light; it would be God's light if people can see it, and certainly with my colleagues too. They all know that I'm a Christian because as you work together for many years, you get to know each other really, really well, and you do find occasion to just talk about, this is what we did at church, or my kids go to the Christian school. They do see that, and some have asked questions about that too. So my colleagues do know that I'm a Christian. I think pretty well most of them do. And for those who don't, hopefully they do see God's light shining in me, as that's how I try to be, God willing.
Yeah, I think going off of that, like, all you can really hope for in your work environment is that you can be a light to those around you, right? Because you don't always get the opportunity to say, hey, I'm a Christian, like, hear about the Lord. So being able to just, like, have people notice that. For me, a big example was when I was working in India, they knew that the CEO and a few of us were Christians, but the majority of them were Hindu and Sikh. So they have a very different perspective on life in general. And so we were working with a team of probably 30 of them on one project, and we did software development. So they were doing software for some company in the States, and they made this huge mistake, and the company in the States website shut down for like 30 hours, and they were so upset, and they called us and they were like, we're sorry, we can't have you guys as our software developers anymore. And so I remember like the fear in their eyes when they walked into the office and they looked at me and they're like, we have to talk to Kevin, the CEO, today because we made this mistake and we just lost a client. And I was like, that sucks. And so I remember going into the meeting and Kevin, our boss, was like, I understand that you messed up, but everybody makes mistakes. And it was a big loss for us. And we probably will need to fire a few people, not because they did something wrong, but because we didn't have the money to afford them anymore. And so like moving on from that, and they came out of the meeting and they were just like mind blown because they had never even heard of the concept of forgiveness.
Right.
So they were just all expecting to be shut out and kicked out of the building right then and there. And so like just seeing them have that moment and like click in their head that forgiveness is reality for some people, was so cool. And it just was opened up doors for us to have conversations about our faith. And they were like, so do you forgive people sometimes?
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, actually I do. And so we could have that discussion over lunch the next day. And yeah, so I think just being able to be a light in the work environment and always being open to having those conversations, even though sometimes it catches you off guard and you're like, yeah, forgiveness has always been a thing for me, right? And we can't talk about it now because I'm at work, but like you can and take advantage of it. Those are the moments that God gives us. So,
oh, wonderful.
Yeah, and I talked about praying that God's light would shine through me at work, and it's just not going to happen just because you prayed about that. It's going to happen through the guidance that God gives you and the character that he's built up. So you conduct yourself with as best you can, with integrity, with kindness, and without anger, with love, these are fruits of the Spirit, characteristics that God expects of us as we walk through life. That's when I think God's light is going to shine through us. We can't pray for that 1 minute and then the next minute fly off the handle and say things that are contrary to that shining light. So it has to be consistent. And so that's how, I try to conduct myself at the office and through life. And I think that's what God calls us to do as well.
Yeah. Beautiful.
It's kind of an honor to represent God wherever you are.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. That's a pretty distinctive perspective, right? That if we carried that constantly, we would probably do things differently, perhaps even, right?
Yeah, I think for countries have ambassadors in other countries, and we need to see ourselves as an ambassador for Christ in this world, right? Because we represent Jesus Christ in how we live our lives. So we're ambassadors for Christ.
So good. Wow. Hey, I want to thank you for participating in this discussion. And way more and has been said than I could say in a sermon, and probably way more helpful as well. So I just want to thank you for taking the evening to share your thoughts and your experiences and your perspectives. And we're praying that for you listening to this, that in some way this inspires you to grab a hold of what's ahead of us in this new fall season, with lots that we don't know how it will go, but to go in the confidence of that we are servants of God, working in His world, and seeking to accomplish His purposes in whatever we are doing, and all of it is to the glory of our God. So let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for this opportunity to think about our work, something that often we take for granted, perhaps, or often we would love to just get rid of all work, and we think life would just be wonderful if we could just be in constant leisure or in constant play. And so, God, we give you thanks for the gift of work, and we pray that you will help us to sustain that perspective that our work is but an extension of what you seek to accomplish in this world. And that gives us encouragement to do our daily work and all of our tasks, some of them very exciting and some of them very mundane. But it also, God, gives us inspiration to do everything to your honor and to your glory. And so we pray that your Spirit will enter into us so that we may work to accomplish your purposes. Give us open eyes and listening ears so that we pay attention to how you are at work in our world and in our lives. And may we urge one another on to advance your kingdom. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.